A very, very good morning to you. It's great to see you this morning. If anybody watching doesn't know me, my name is Alex. I am Vicar of St Paul's Knock and St Mary's Birkhead. And today we begin a new sermon series on the Book of James. Before reading the Bible passage, I'm going to step back and give a short introduction to the character of James and the book as a whole. So the book of James is one of the New Testament letters found near the end of the Bible, and it's thought to have been written by James, the brother of Jesus. He had been a skeptic originally and not believed that Jesus was special during his brother's lifetime. However, he'd been won over to belief by Jesus' appearance to him after his resurrection. James had become prominent in the Church of Jerusalem and was leader of the Jerusalem Council. He was called one of the pillars of the church by Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And though he only mentions Jesus specifically twice in his letter, it's clear that his ethics are based in faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And in verse 1, James calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of James is a practical text, which is why it's particularly exciting to be studying it. A writer called Tom Ellsworth describes it as a book which shows what faith in Jesus looks like when we put it into action. If you flick through the book of James in your Bible, you will see that it's only 5 chapters or 108 verses long, a few pages. And so I'd highly recommend that each of us read it from beginning to end at some point this week, because it will help us to set each of the sections we look at in the sermon series into context. In the book's 108 verses, James presents us with 60 courses of action which help us to grow in the way we live out our faith. Key themes in the book, which we will be picking up on the sermon series, are being joyful in trials, which is in today's theme, being good hearers and doers of the word, which John Baxter will be picking up on for us next week, not showing favoritism, showing our faith by our works, being careful with our tongues, following the wisdom of God, planning carefully, and praying together. In chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, James refers to the Bible as a mirror which shows us who we are when we look at it. Once we see ourselves, he suggests, we have the option to change or to stay the same. James's book shows us not only what we look like now and the aspects of our characters which need work, but also a vision of the abundant, deep life with Jesus we can have when we walk in his ways. So as we enter into this series, I think we need to prepare to be challenged, because there is an invitation in the next couple of months to all of us to engage in deep change if we enter into this book and the lessons God has for us from it fully. I think we need to be prepared to be vulnerable about who we are with God and with each other. I think we need to be prepared to be supportive of one another as we grow up in maturity and closer to God through studying his word together. So with that introduction, I'm going to read the passage for today, which is James chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So it's a great passage with lots in it. Please do keep it open in front of you as we continue. And let's pray as we begin to explore what God has to say to us this morning from it together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your transforming love for us. And we thank you for your word that teaches us to be more like you. Please help us to have the humility to ask for wisdom when we need help and to have faith where we doubt. When we come to you, knowing that you are generous and unchanging, the giver of every good and perfect gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's remind us of verses 2-3 for a moment. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When, says James, not if, but when we face trials, illnesses, financial difficulties, problems at work, persecution for our faith, or the many adversities we encounter in life, our attitude is to be one of pure joy. Why? Because when our faith is tested by trials, it produces perseverance. And godly perseverance is what the passage we have heard today is all about. In order to explore the blessings which come when we persevere in faith, we're going to look at verses 2-18 in four sections. Verses 2-8, the purpose of perseverance. Verses 9-11, the paradox of perseverance. Verses 12-15, the outcome of perseverance. And verses 16-18, the fruit of perseverance. So verses 2-8, the purpose of perseverance. Verses 9-11, the paradox of perseverance. Verses 12-15, the outcome of perseverance. And verses 16-18, the fruit of perseverance. And I just want to mention as I continue that those titles and some of the ideas I talk about come from a theologian and minister called Ken Noakes. So let's look at verses 2-8. The purpose of perseverance. The purpose of perseverance. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm honest, on reading those first couple of verses, I find myself having a bit of a mixed response. There's a part of me inside that's really motivated. Yes, Lord, come on, bring it on. I want to be close to you. And there's another quite big part also thinking, ouch, that is a tough message. Now, I want to be really clear what James isn't saying at this point. By suggesting that we consider the trials and temptations of life a joy, he's not suggesting that we have to be happy in the hurts and the losses of life. He's not saying that we have to enjoy being ill or losing loved ones or being bullied or losing our job or the many other things which can befall us. It's not about denying that life often really, really hurts, and it's not about pretending or being false about the reality of the difficulties and pain which we sometimes face. Many of the Psalms, Psalm 88 in particular, but there are others as well, show us that there are times when grief is highly appropriate and that it is God-honouring to be honest with the Lord and with our fellow believers about the devastation of the situations we face. There are also times when anger is an appropriate response to some of the atrocities which happen in the world. James is not saying a Christian should never experience difficult emotions or times of depression. So if the initial kind of reaction I had to the passage chime with anybody else, we can relax a little bit. What James is saying is that in the hard things that we all experience, there is learning which can be embraced when we choose to do so. Very early on, as a curate in Balham, I broke my ankle very badly. There were multiple complications which developed around it, and I became quite ill for a little while. It came at a time I was new to living in Balham. I didn't know anybody. I was very new to the church. I was new to this new form of ministry. And just at the time I was hoping to get stuck in and do lots and lots of eager, just having finished theological college, I found myself on a fourth floor council flat, which is where I lived for my curacy, with a lift that often didn't work, very limited to what I could manage, including leaving the flat to get about. That was the easiest of the many challenges which then beset me during that first year of being an ordained minister. Now, I can't honestly say that I was glad I broke my bones, and I can't honestly say that I was glad about some of the other things that happened. What I can say is that I'm glad of all that I learned and what the Lord showed me from those experiences. And James tells us that this learning about the Lord and his ways, this learning to trust him to be at work in our hardest moments, brings a reason to be joyful in the midst of our troubles. Verse 4 tells us that the work of persevering in our faith in the face of the harder times of life helps us to work to a point where we will become mature and complete and not lacking in anything. It brings a character that is closer to God. As I found, one of the things we often find when we've worked our way through hard times is that we look back and we find that we've grown, often a huge amount, in the process. God uses the hard experience of life to purify us and to strengthen our focus on him. And the original wording used here is the same as in the Old Testament, as when the process of refining gold or silver is described. And this purification, this strengthening of our faith, is the part of the experience that we are to consider pure joy. When the tough times come to an end, the result is greater perseverance and maturity, and these things are pleasing to God. Verses 5 to 8 encourage us that when we are faced with circumstances we do not understand, we are to pray to the Lord, who gives generously to all in faith and without doubt. If we are people of God, then we're to trust him to do what he wills. This may not necessarily be what we wish, but we're to trust him anyhow. Psalm 119 verses 2 to 3 says, "Blessed are those who keep the Lord's statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways." James is concerned that we're not double-minded in our trust of the Lord, but that we are truly yielded to him. Because what will not help us is turning to the ways of the world and the answers to the challenge of life we can get from there. We're not to take the easiest path, because this will not build up perseverance, and we'll end up as the waves of the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. God wants to be our foundation in the hard times, but it's not enough to ask him to be there for us. We have to be single-minded about following his ways. So verses 2 to 8 of that passage teach us about perseverance in our faith. And then to illustrate this a bit further, James uses the example of money in verses 9 to 11, where we see the paradox of perseverance. The paradox of perseverance. Although there are other examples which could work in the same way, James uses money to show us the foolishness of trusting the answers of the world when we suffer. And the reason for this is that, as with so many other things, the world's values about money are completely the wrong way around. Not with every person, but often in the West, the problems with money here tend to be that we're either disappointed because we're not making as much money as we thought we should do by now, or we're finding comfort and security in our wealth instead of in God. James points out the different way in which God sees things. Those who are looked upon poorly according to the values of the world, maybe status or position or demographic or bank balance, are the ones God looks on with favour. And because of this, should see themselves in a high position. those who are rich are, of course, loved by God, but their richness in the eyes of the world is of no regard to him, and therefore they should see themselves in a low position. It's a paradox. And the passage tells us that those who are rich or successful and think they have it all now are in grave danger, as these things will not last forever. Their flower will eventually fall, they will wither, they will fade away, possibly even whilst going about their business. But by contrast, the Lord and his word are permanent. It's the Lord who offers life eternal, and it's the Lord on whom we are to place the foundations of our lives. Everything else other than our Lord is unstable, like in Matthew chapter 7, where those who build their homes on the sand find them washed away by the water and the sea. But those who build their homes on the rock, the Lord, find their homes won't fall. This is the paradox of perseverance we find in verses 9 to 11. So we move on to thinking about the outcome of perseverance in verses 12 to 15. The outcome of perseverance. Those who persevere in the faith through the trials of life are blessed because, having stood the test, verse 12 tells us that they receive the crown of life that the Lord promised to those who follow him. And the one who has worn the crown of life before us, of course, is Jesus, who is the perfect example of a person who lived out all that James has been describing so far in this chapter. Jesus faced many trials in his life. He persevered under huge suffering, eventually being put to death on the cross. He cried out to God and trusted, even when it appeared that God was willing to do nothing to take away his pain. He humbled himself. He was the Lord God in human form, but was mocked and ridiculed by the world. Yet undeterred, he lived for God the Father. And his reward was that he was given the crown of life. He was made God's king and exalted into the position of sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Jesus went through all of this because he loved God and he loves us. He modelled for us in his suffering the attitude which we are to have in ours. In verses 14 to 15, James continues to build on his opening theme of enduring through trials by adding temptations and warning us never to blame God for them, as they are the result of our own wrong desires. When we allow trials to lead us into giving into temptations, we stunt our growth, cutting off an area where God could have worked to develop us to our true and full potential. The crown of life is available to us all when we persevere in faith in God in the face of trials and temptations. The outcome of perseverance is God's blessing upon us. Finally, we move on to talk about verses 16 to 18, the fruit of perseverance. The fruit of perseverance. James concludes this section of his letter by encouraging us that God, who is unchangeable, seeks only to give us good and perfect gifts. It is his intention that we live through the trials of life, trusting in him and marking ourselves out to be his people. He has chosen us to be the first fruits of all he created. And one day God will transform the whole of creation, filling both earth and heaven with his wonderful and rich light and life. James challenges us to face the trials and temptations of life with pure joy and with faith in our Lord, who gives good and perfect things. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let's support one another in persevering as we grow up and mature in the faith together. Let's courageously say no to the wrong things that tempt us, standing strong against the enticements of this world, because we know what God has done for us through Jesus, his Son. And let us do all of this, knowing that having persevered, having stood the test, we too will receive the crown of life. Amen.